الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولو شئنا لبعثنا في كل قرية نذيرا. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الغداة جاء خدم المدينة بآنيتهم فيها الماء، فما يأتون بإناء إلا غمس يده فيها، فربما جاءه بالغداة الباردة فيغمس يده، أو كما قال. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, many examples can be cited throughout history of prominent personalities who, in addition to benefiting mankind during their lifespan, equally had a profound impact on society after their death by virtue of the legacy that they left behind. So many people have physically passed on, but their character and their teachings has lived on with us. However, there is only one person in the annals of human history, there is only one person without exception, who apart from benefiting mankind while he was alive and after his death, Allah's Qasam, he equally benefited mankind before he was born. And that was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is no other person as an unborn child. As an unborn child. لَقَدْ بَدَأَتْ بَرَكَاتُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ تَنْهَالُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ وَعَلَىٰ الْإِنسَانِيَّةِ جَمِيعًا وَهُوَ جَنِينٌ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. The blessings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was appreciated both locally in Arabia and by extension across the globe when he was no more than a fetus in the womb of his mother. Secondly, the maximum we can say in the praises of a person, he is loved by all and respected by all. But in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was a level beyond that. He was loved by all and adored by everything, animate or inanimate, had life or lifeless. To the extent that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, هَذَا جَبَلٌ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ. Leave the world, even Mount Uhud loves me. هَذَا جَبَلْ يُحِبُّنَا وَنُحِبُّهُ. And thirdly, when we speak of any person, the maximum we say he was a great young boy, he was a talented youngster and a brilliant adult. So he had talent as a young boy. But in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was just not amazing as a child or talented as a youngster or capable as an adult. He was unique as a baby and an infant. And I will support what I said. Now, the quality of uniqueness cannot be attached to a child, a baby, an infant. There's no degree of communication. But in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advocated messages through his character while he was being suckled by his mother. So perfect and wholesome was his example. Now let's just reflect over the union of the parents of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then the conception, and then obviously the greatest birth and the greatest arrival. Ibn Sa'd makes mention of the narration, حدثنا وهب بن جرير بن حازم قال حدثنا أبي قال سمعت أبا يزيد المدني يقول نبئت أن عبد الله أتى على امرأة من خثعم. The narration of خصائص كبرى of علامة سيوطي رحمة الله عليه. The father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, ata ala imra'atim min khath'am, passes by a woman from the Khath'am tribe. The narration of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, kanat dhata jamalin, a woman of beauty. One narration of Ibn Sa'd, anna Qatila bint Nawfal ukhta Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Qatila, who was the daughter of Nawfal, the sister of Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Waraqa ibn Nawfal was the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha, and there is a dedicated book that speaks about his iman. So this woman passed by the father of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu. فرأت بين عينيه نورا ساطعا إلى السماء. So when she looked at Hazrat Abdullah, now we must know the scholars of hadith tell us Hazrat Abdullah passed away at the age of 18. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father passed away at the age of 18. So this was beyond that, at a much earlier stage. She seen this divine light glowing on the forelock and the forehead of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father. She seized the opportunity, she realized who this man is, and immediately she proposed. She said, I want to get married to you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father said, I will reflect and I will get back to you. Obviously, there was going to be no coincidence. This was the divine plan of Allah. The greatest woman was going to be Amina, and no woman could come and snatch this honor. There is going to be no coincidence to who's going to be the mother of the greatest human. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's father went, and this nikah was performed, and the relation was consummated, and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was conceived. Sometime later, the father walks past that very same woman. Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu walks past this very same woman. The topic of nikah comes into discussion again. So this woman declines and she refuses. Now I'm not interested any longer. So Hazrat Abdullah, the father of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked her why. She said, Mararta wa bayna aynayka nurun sati'un ila sama. The first time when you pass, I seen a divine and a celestial light beaming on your forelock. I no longer see that light. I am convinced you have been wedded. The relation has been consummated. The nur has been transmitted into the womb of your wife. Congratulations to you, Abdullah, and to your wife, Amina. Undoubtedly, you will be the greatest parents planet Earth has ever seen. I did some homework on this narration in Sirat-e-Mustafa as an academic discussion for scholars. And due to the ta'addud-e-turuq, the multiple narrations that are mentioned in this regard, the scholars of hadith say this narration enjoys hasanun li ghayrihi. Now, if you're familiar with the text of hadith and you understand the gradings of hadith, you will appreciate hasanun li ghayrihi ranks senior as viewed by the scholars of hadith. In the terminology of hadith, there are four different phrases we use when it comes to miracles. One is we use the word mu'jizat. That is miracles performed by a prophet post-prophethood. Then we use the term karamat, wa karamatul awliya'i haqqun. That's the supernatural performances of pious people. Then we have the term istidraj. Istidraj refers to the peculiar, strange, uncommon performances at the hands of wicked people and evil forces. So they can hypnotize you, they can cast a spell on you, and they can do strange things, but they derive their power through evil forces. And the fourth is irhas. And irhas refers to the miracles performed by a prophet pre-prophethood, before a Nabi. And in the case of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had just not performed miracles before prophethood. Wallah, he performed miracles before his birth. Obviously, he himself had not performed it, but historians are unanimous it happened because of him. And this is referred to as irhas. وَكَانَتْ إِرْحَاصَاتُ النُّبُوَّةِ تَتَبَدَّى لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So with reference to Tafheem al-Quran makes mention 50 days spot on prior to the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abraham mobilizes his forces with the nasty agenda to invade the sanctity of the Kaaba and destroy the Kaaba. Ibn Jarir and Ibn Hisham make mention of the couplets of Abdul Muttalib, who was the custodian of the Kaaba, the grandfather of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I often say this, and this is my cry. How many of us have mastered the genealogy and the ancestry? Muhammad ibn Abdullah, ibn Abdul Muttalib, ibn Hashim, ibn Abd Manaf, ibn Qusay, ibn Kilab, ibn Murrah, ibn Ka'ab, ibn Luwai, ibn Ghalib, ibn Fahr, ibn Malik, ibn Nadhar, ibn Kinana, ibn Khuzayma, ibn Mudrika, ibn Ilyas, ibn Mudhar, ibn Nazar, ibn Ma'ad, ibn Adnan. How many of us have pride ourselves by mastering this the ancestry, the genealogy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather, was the custodian of the Kaaba. He sang the famous couplets, لَهُمَّ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَمْنَعُ رَحْلَهُ فَمْنَعْ حِلَالَكَ لَا يَغْلِبَنَّ صَلِيبُهُمْ وَمِحَالُهُمْ غَدْوًا مِحَالَكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَارِكَهُمْ وَقِبْلَتَنَا فَافْعَلْ مَا بَدَا لَكَ وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى آلِ الصَّلِيبِ وَعَابِدِيهِ الْيَوْمَ آلَكَ يَا رَبِّ لَا أَرْجُو لَهُمْ سِوَاكَ يَا رَبِّ فَامْنَعْ مِنْهُمْ حِمَاكَ يَا رَبِّ امْنَعْ مِنْهُمْ حِمَاكَ إِنَّ عَدُوَّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ عَادَاكَ امْنَعْهُمْ أَنْ يُخَرِّبُوا قُرَاكَ. These were the couplets of Abdul Muttalib. لَهُمَّ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَمْنَعُ رَحْلَهُ فَامْنَعْ حِلَالَكَ. O my Lord, every man prides himself by protecting his house. You take care of the Kaaba. لا يغلبن صليبهم ومحالهم غدوا محالك. محال أي قوة, غدوا أي غدا. Allah, let not their might and their power dominate over you tomorrow. إن كنت تاركهم وقبلتنا فافعل ما بدالك. If you allow them and you unleash it upon them and they choose to desecrate the Kaaba, then that is your prerogative, O Allah. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَىٰ آلِ الصَّبِيلِ عَلَىٰ آلِ الصَّلِيبِ وَعَابِدِيهِ الْيَوْمَ آلَكَ. O Allah, we are yours. Aid us, protect us, assist us. So this was the couplets of Abdul Muttalib. Abraha comes and Allah decided to deploy the birds at that time. And repeatedly the Quran says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّاهُ. It is what Allah deploys at which time. Currently, as we are passing through, we've seen how Allah deploys the earth. Yesterday we were speaking about Haiti, and today we're speaking about Chile, and the day before that we spoke about tsunami, and the day before that we spoke about Turkey. In few seconds, the amount of damage that Allah is causing to the planet as a result of deputing the earth against insan is but a reflection of the supreme horror of the day of Qiyamah. So Allah decided to deploy the bird, and the birds came down with stones in their beaks, showering it on the rider as well as the elephants. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ, and reduced them to smithereens. This was 50 days before the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is exactly what historians write. وَكَأَنَّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ تَمْهِيدًا مِنْهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ الَّذِي وُلِدَ فِيهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah was leveling the ground and paving the way for the grand arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the pregnancy of Amina radiallahu anha was amazing. إِنَّ أُمَّهُ آمِنَ لَمَّا حَمَلَتْ بِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لَمْ تَجِدْ مَا تَجِدُهُ الْحَوَامِلُ عَادَةً مِنَ الْوَهْنِ وَالضَّعْفِ فَكَانَ هَذَا آيَةً. Amina radiallahu anha did not contend with the challenges that an average pregnant woman has to contend in the form. If you're a father, you'll know. Many times the father has to contend with it as well. There's the backaches, there's the nausea, not to speak of the mood swings. And by the way, if you're a prospective father, let me forewarn you, that continues after birth. It doesn't end at birth. إِنَّ أُمَّهُ آمِنَ لَمْ تَجِدْ مَا تَجِدُهُ الْحَوَامِلُ عَادَى. So Amina radiallahu anha didn't have the backaches and the early morning sickness and the nausea and the peculiar craves. No. A. B. لَمَّا وَضَعَتْهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَرَجَ مِنْهَا نُورًا أَضَاءَ لَهَا قُسُورَ الشَّامِ. When she gave birth to Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a divine light that lit up the palaces of Syria. Number three, وُلِدَ صلى الله عليه وسلم مَخْتُونًا. قال الحاكم تواترت الأحاديث على أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم وُلِدَ مَخْتُونًا. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was divinely, naturally born circumcised by Allah. امْتِلَاءُ الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي وُلِدَ فِيهِ نُورًا. The entire house in which he was born was enveloped in divine light. رُؤْيَةُ النُّجُومِ وَهِيَ تَجْنُو مِنْهُ حَتَّى لَتَكَادْ تَقَعُ عَلَيْهِ. And a constellation of stars were gazing down on the birth, as if those stars wanted to fall into the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great moment happens. Scholars say Allah made it happen at the junction of night and day. It was the flush of dawn, it was the break of dawn, and it was the arrival of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So prior to the sun rising, the sun of Nubuwwat rises. And what did Aisha radiallahu anha say? Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu. Lana shamsun walil afaqi shamsu. Wa shamsi khayrun min shamsi sama. Fa inna shamsa tatlu'u ba'da fajrin. Wa shamsi tali'un ba'da al-isha'i. One is the sun that brightens the world and the other half is in darkness. But then here is my master Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who radiates light 24/7. Abu Lahab. Now listen to this very, very attentively because I want to draw points from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's important. Abu Lahab was the uncle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's uncle, they were 12. With Hazrat Abdullah. Four out of them seen the era of Islam. Eight had not seen Islam. Four out of the 12 seen Islam. Two out of the four accepted. Two did not accept. The two that accepted was Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhumah. The two that did not accept was Abu Talib and Abu Lahab. But there is obviously a further distinction between Abu Talib and Abu Lahab. Abu Talib supported the cause, promoted the cause, but unfortunately, tragically did not embrace the faith. Abu Lahab, initially, at the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rejoiced. When his slave girl Thuwayba came to him, فَهَذَا أَبُو لَهْبٍ عِندَمَا سَمِعَ بِوِلَادَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَعْتَقَ جَارِيَتَهُ ثُوَيْبَ أَلَّتِي بَشَّرَتْهُ بِمَوْلِدِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ So Thuwayba, who was the slave girl of Abu Lahab, when she comes to Abu Lahab, her master, whose actual name was Abdul Uzza, he's the actual uncle of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. His wife was Umm Jamil. The slave girl comes and says, Oh my master, a son has been born to your late brother Abdullah. Abu Lahab is ecstatic, he's elated, he's overwhelmed. As a token of joy, as a mark of respect, in a fit of excitement and ecstasy, he says, I liberate you out of the good news that you have given me. So such was his joy on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then tragically and unfortunately, when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew up and became a Nabi, the very person who rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam vehemently opposed the cause of Islam. He became an absolute obstacle and hostile towards the faith. And he had also insisted on his sons to divorce the daughters of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His wife Umm Jamil had a very valuable pendant. وَامْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَسَدٍ She had a very valuable pendant. She said, I'm going to sell this, take the money and destroy the cause of Islam. Now listen to this here, and this appears in all the books of tafsir, in all the books of seerah. Abu Lahab rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, when he became a Nabi, he displayed an obstinate nature, arrogance, hostility. Notwithstanding the fact that he caused so much harm to Islam, the fact that he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam benefited him and continues to benefit him in his grave till today. He died as a disbeliever, hence due to his crimes he will be subjected to hell. وَيَقُولُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْحَافِظُ شَمْشُ الدِّينِ Muhammad ibn Nasir al-Din al-Dimishqi. Iza kana hadha kafirun. Iza kana hadha kafirun. Ja'a dhammuhu. Tabbat yadahu fil jahim mukhallada. Ata annahu fil yawm ithnayn da'iman. Ata annahu fil yawm ithnayn da'iman. Yukhaffafu anhu lissururi bi ahmada. فَمَذَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا How do you translate this? إِذَا كَانَ هَذَا كَافِرٌ حَفِظَ شَمْشُ الدِّينِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ نَاصِرُ الدِّينَ الدِّمِشْقِ جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ عَنَّا خَيْرَ الْجَزَاءِ He says, Abu Lahab, yeah he is, kafir, تَبَّتْ يَدَا, may his hands be perished, فِي الْجَحِيمِ in hell, مُخَلَّدَا eternally, Ata, it appears in the narrations. Annahu fil yawm ithnayn da'iman on every Monday. يخفف عنه للسرور بأحمد. His torment is reduced in the grave simply because he rejoiced on the Monday about the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now let me explain to you. You might think little reduction makes no difference. My brother, one verse of the Quran will give you a shiver in your spine. وقال الذين في النار لخزنة جهنم ادعوا ربكم يخفف عنا يوما من العذاب. The dwellers of hell, Allah save one and all. The occupants of hell, Allah save one and all. Their desperation will know no bounds. They will intercede and ask Malik, who represents their case, negotiate with Allah and ask Him if He can grant us deliverance from hell for one day only. We are so desperate and we are so bruised in pain and injury. If we can be granted deliverance for one day and then hurled back into hell, we're happy to accept that as a deal. Such will be their desperation. So can you imagine how welcome the reduction will be for Abu Lahab? But given the fact he did not believe and he opposed the cause, eternity in hell remains. However, يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُ لِلسُّرُورِ بِأَحْمَدَ. And then the poet elevates the couplets to a pinnacle and he throws out a question to the audience. He says, فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِالْعَبْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ عُمْرُهُ بِأَحْمَدَ مَسْرُورًا وَمَاتَ مُوَحِّدًا. If this is the reward and the acknowledgement and the reduction a disbeliever enjoys every Monday because he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what will Allah give? Can the words of any language encapsulate and adequately reflect the sentiments and the honor and the privilege of a Muslim who lives his life 24/7 by the dictates of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and exhibits his flawless and impeccable character? And that reminds me of something where the imam walked into the masjid and he says, folks, I have good news and bad news. Let's start off with the good news. They say you must be optimistic in life. A positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty. A negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. The good news is that alhamdulillah, we no longer need funds. We've got sufficient funds to complete our masjid and our adjacent project. Everything is catered for. So the funds are sufficient. So everybody is, wow, that's great. The bad news is the money is still in your pockets. My brother, now that you've digested that, let me say to you, the good news is you and I have the solution to rescue humanity from their crisis. That are on the brink of destruction. That cannot make heads or tails, night or day, male or female, mother or daughter. The bad news is we're hoarding the formula. The bad news is we're sitting with it dry in our pockets. Stand up with this pristine faith and exhibit this character to North Americans and to fellow citizens and to co-people who inhabit the planet just as you do. Display it and present it. There is a divine attraction in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before I digress, I want to draw your attention to a key point here. And that is, إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Islam, if you do an iota of good, even if you grow up to be Abu Jahl and you grow up to be Abu Lahab, your good will still benefit you. That's my point. All the hostility, all the aggression. And by saying that, what am I whispering? I'm whispering to my young audience. If you have clubbed by night and you have drink and drunk and womanized, and I'm not advocating that, but as you're coming back, there is a twinge of regret. And there is a guilt in you. And there is a whisper of performing 2 rakat salah. For Allah's sake, perform that 2 rakat salah. Don't think the whole night I was clubbing, I slept with women, I did so much wrong. What will 2 rakat? No, my brother, perform the 2 rakat. Perform it. And let me tell you why I say what I said. I gave this talk similar, and I mentioned this incident. And after the talk was over, a brother came crying to me, "Sheikh, I need to share an experience with you." I said, "Please do. It always empowers me for further lectures." He says, "Your words were spot on. What you said hit home. I, as a young boy, I don't have a proud history. I used to unfortunately think of every evil crime you can think of. But there was one thing, even in my days of darkness, that if I was watching the most immoral of movies, or I was at an evil place, or I was, you know what, caught in a girl, and I heard Adhan, I would just back off from that girl, I would back off from that program, and I would just excuse myself for the sake of Adhan. And then I would re-engage." He said, "This action brought me to this point," and he broke down. Now, I know the family very well. Today, Allah has given that man so much hidayat that his children are ulama of deen. I've seen this with my own eyes. And I've had the privilege of even teaching them. But I wasn't aware of this. He brought it to my notice very recently. He says, "This was one thing I would do. I'm not, again, don't get the wrong side of the stick. I'm not for a moment advocating wrong. I'm saying if you have succumbed to that evil whisper and you have surrendered to that vice, and thereafter there is this guilt that eats in you, capitalize on it. Capitalize on it. And perform that good deed. Who knows, it might be that one that rescues you." There is a narration in Ruhul Ma'ani with reference to Al-Bahrul Muhit. When the Prophet Musa, Moses, peace be upon him, went to Mount Tur, in the interim, a man by the name of Samiri initiated the worship of the calf. And by the way, the scholars of Tafsir said he has been referred to in the Quran as Samiri, but his actual name was Musa as well. Just as the Prophet Musa was Musa, this man's name was also Musa. And very amazingly, his mother, out of the fear of the tyranny of Pharaoh and the execution of Pharaoh, his mother took him when he was an infant and put him in the cave. And Jibreel would descend and nourish him and take care of him. This is mentioned in Tafsir al-Sawi in the footnotes of Jalalain. And that is exactly what the poet said. فَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ وَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ إِذَا الْمَرْءُ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ سَعِيدًا مِنَ الْأَزَلِّ فَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ رَبَّ وَخَابَ الْمُؤَمِّلُ فَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّهُ جِبْرِيلُ كَافِرُ وَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. That this Musa, whose name was Samiri, referred to but his actual name, out of the fear of the execution of Pharaoh, his mother put him in the cave. And Jibreel would descend and nourish him. Tragically, the Musa who was nurtured by Jibreel became a disbeliever. And ironically, Musa who was nurtured by Pharaoh became the Prophet of Allah. When Allah wants to give hidayat, a man can be living in North America, he never abandons his prayer. Like a brother told me one day, he said, "Sheikh, I was living next to the masjid, I never prayed my salah. And Allah gave me guidance. I was up for tahajjud on my first night when I got married." I said, "This is guidance. This is guidance." Well, I guess he didn't sleep, so it was easy to make the tahajjud. Did not the master say in Abu Dawud, "Rahimallahu imra'an qama min al-layl. Rahimallahu imra'an qama min al-layl." How about this becoming a weekend? You know, we say we're going for an adventurous weekend. We're going for some recreation. We're going for some outdoors. We're just having some time together. I left the children by my in-laws or here or there. We're just having some quality time. We need to just catch up on some events. The relation has taken strain. They say, what do you call a man who surrenders when he knows he's guilty? He's an honest man. He confesses to his wrong. What do you call a man who confesses and surrenders when he's not sure if he's on right or he's wrong? He's unsure. He's a wise man. He's playing the safe road. But what do you call a man who surrenders when he knows he's correct and what he said is correct, but he still surrenders? He's a husband. He knows what he said is correct, 100%, but he surrenders. Another name for him is husband. Anyway, the master said, "Rahim Allahum ra'an qama min al-layl." May Allah have mercy on that husband who gets up in the dead of night, tawadda'a, performs wudu, tawassaka, uses the miswak, and then comes to his beloved wife. Oh my Lord, make this a reality in our homes. Oh my Allah, let not the night end with pornography and music. Oh my Allah, let not the night end with vulgarity and immorality. How about this in the dead of night? And you take the dua, not my dua. Don't ask the scholars for dua. Take the dua of the greatest human. Rahimallahu imra'an qama min al-layl. He stands up in the dead of night. Then he comes to his wife and he taps her. And then she tossed to the other side. And there's this contradiction of emotions. It's my beloved in her deep sleep. But I want her to join me, and collectively we implore the Almighty. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there's this contradiction that goes through his mind. And then nadaha ala wajhihi al-ma, he then sprinkles gently water and it trickles down her cheeks. And then she opens up and she says, my darling, my beloved, what's it? It's 2 o'clock. And he taps her and he says, come, let us pray together. Oh my Allah, how about that for a weekend? How about that for an Easter weekend? And then collectively this husband and wife, tatajafa junubuhum, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They get up in the dead of night and then collectively they pray. The husband supplicates, the wife says Ameen. The wife supplicates, the husband says Ameen. What a wholesome night. What a meaningful night. I told one youngster getting married, I said, don't exchange any gifts. If you can be man enough to exchange a life of fidelity of the past and a commitment of loyalty to your wife on your first night, you have exchanged the most precious of gifts, although it's intangible. I'm coming with a clean past, my beloved, and I hope to be as clean as I've entered today. Unfortunately, that's not the reality. Anyway, I was speaking on this incident, Samiri. He initiated the worship of the calf. And he had the audacity of telling everyone, "Hada ilahukum wa ilahu Musa fanasi." This is Moses' God as well. Musa made a mistake. When Musa alayhi salam came, then he engaged everyone and he admonished them and everything. And Musa, by divine command, he was obviously angered and enraged by the audacity of this person who creates the image and then tells people not to worship Allah. So Musa wanted to execute him. Allah told Musa, "Oh Musa, this man has committed evil and he has committed vice." There's a mention in Bahrul Muhit. But he has one good quality and that is generosity. Spare his life. Again, what's the point I'm saying? There is so much wrong. But the good, that silent, soft good that he had, it spared his life in this world. Abu Lahab opposed the cause of Islam, did everything nasty, but he rejoiced on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This again spells out the beauty of Islam. Inna la nudi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Whoever will do an iota of good, he will be rewarded for the good and punished for the evil. So the message from there is, my brother, even if you've done wrong, thereafter there is the whisper of good. Perform that good deed. You don't know what avenues it might pay for you in the future. Now, my opening comments, I said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was amazing as a baby. That wasn't an exaggeration. I literally meant it. And again, I will show you a lesson that we learn from his birth and his infancy. The narration is in Khasa'is al-Kubra, Allama Suyuti on page 100. And it also appears in Atlas al-Sirat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on page 99. You can have a look at the reference. Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu anha says, "Kuntu u'tihi al-thadiya al-aymana fayashrabu minhu. ثم أحوله إلى الثدي الأيسر فيأبى أن يشرب منه قال بعضهم وذلك من عدله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه علم أن له شريكا في الرضاع." Halima radiyallahu anha says, I've given you the reference. And again, we can just marvel at the privilege of Halima. Can you imagine the beauty on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? I mean, we say he's a beautiful baby and he's a bouncing baby and he's so, just want to cuddle him and he's so adorable and he grows up to be a monster. But he was so sweet, man. Yeah, but then don't you know his father was no different. Halima radiallahu anha said, I would latch the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam onto the right side of my chest. And he would drink the milk. And then occasionally I would latch him onto the left side of my chest. And he would refuse. So I thought perhaps it's a coincidence, maybe he's not feeling well or whatever. On a second instance, I tried to latch him onto the left side, he declined. She said, I tried this repeatedly and he declined. Read the narration there. The scholars say, this was not a coincidence. This was a message from the master as an infant, that the right side belongs to me and the left side belongs to my foster brother. How dare I usurp or snatch or drink the milk of my brother? I'm saying to you, my brother, your Nabi advocated recognition and was cognizant of the rights of his foster brother. He did not eat with two hands. He respected the sentiments of his foster brother as an infant. Where is adal in our life? وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. The Quran says the average partner today exploits. He wants to eat the pie for himself. Nothing for anyone else. Everything belongs to me. And what's the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a baby, as an infant? What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى. Oh, these words give me a shiver in my back. إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى قَلْبَهُ هُدًى وَسِيرَتَهُ عَدْلًا وَخُلُقَهُ حُسُنًا فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَاهُ نِقْمَةً أي عَذَابًا يُسَاءُ بِهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَبَدَ الْوَثَنَى. I read this, I caught my ears. I said, oh my Lord, what words. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. He said, إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى قَلْبَهُ هُدًى. When the acquisition of the sciences of Islam does not bring guidance in your heart and does not bring justice in your character and does not bring beauty in your manners, then tell that person you're not acquiring deen. That is a torment Allah has inflicted upon you. You will be punished no less than those who worshipped idols. I cannot say this. Read this, it's in the Diwan of Imam Shafi. إِذَا لَمْ يَزِدْ عِلْمُ الْفَتَى قَلْبَهُ هُدًى وَسِيرَتَهُ عَدْلًا وَخُلُقَهُ حُسُنًا فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَاهُ نِقْمًا فَبَشِّرْهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَاهُ نِقْمَةً يُسَاءُ بِهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي عَبَدَ الْوَثَنَى. So what was the message from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As a baby he was unique. How often don't we today we see that the unborn child is the cause of discord? He's not born and they're fighting what color theme we should have for him. And where should he deliver, or where should the wife deliver, and which gynecologist, and which medical. He's not yet born. There's problems. There was a couple that phoned me, Sheikh, just tell my wife, isn't she should spend first Eid by my parents? And she's saying, but isn't he should spend it? I said, we haven't yet seen the crescent of Ramadan. We haven't commenced fasting. Huh? You want to split the moon, you're splitting the family here. What has happened to us? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message of justice, of fairness, of equality, of recognition, that I don't want to, this is my share, that is the right of my brother. Allahu Akbar. Profound. Now, let's look at the character of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith that I quoted is in Muslim Sharif. Anas radiyallahu anhu said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الغداة جاء خدم المدينة بآنيتهم فيها الماء فما يأتون بإناء إلا غمس يده فيها ف فربما جاءه بالغدات الباردة فيغمس يده. He says, I would remember this sight very clearly. Can you imagine the privilege of Sahaba? It is the early hours of Medina. It is the golden era of Nabuwat. It is the galaxy of Sahaba. It is the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reciting Quran, the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, first volume on page 155. وَفِينَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو كِتَابًا إِذَنْ شَقَّ مَعْرُوفٌ مِّنَ الْفَجْرِ سَاطِعُ أَرَانَ الْهُدَى بَعْدَ الْعَمَى فَقُلُوبُنَا بِهِ مُوقِنَاتٌ أَنَّمَا قَالَ وَاقِعُ يَبِيتُ يُجَافِي جَنْبَهُ عَنْ فِرَاشِهِ إِذَا اسْتَثْقَلَتْ بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ الْمَضَاجِعُ. It is the early hours in Mecca, the blessed, the noble place, the galaxy of Sahaba, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting Quran, the combination of nobility to its pinnacle. Anyway, the servants of Medina would come every morning after Fajr with their vessels with water in it, and the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam would immerse his hand in, and each one wanted to get maximum from that hands. I mean, if a finger of it split the moon, can you imagine all those fingers in a vessel, what it would do? If a shear, well, you can't say the word shear, a finger from the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam split the moon, can you imagine when all those fingers was in that blessed vessel? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would immerse his hands. And Anas radiallahu anhu says, فَرُبَمَا جَاءَهُ بِالْغَدَاتِ الْبَارِدَةِ. Sometimes it would be the cool mornings of Medina. The environment would be cold, the water would be cold, the vessels would be cold. But you wouldn't see a frown on the forehead of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You won't hear a moan or a groan. Religiously, diligently, respectfully, he would immerse his blessed hand into every vessel and keep it there for the duration until that person was appeased and satisfied. And then gently he would do this every day, regardless of how bitter cold it was in Medina. I'm saying, if this was the profound character he exhibited to the general servants of Medina, can you imagine the character in his house? If I can have that level of tolerance and patience within my own sphere, within my working environment, can you imagine the difference? Abu Umama's narration, أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً بَذِئَةَ اللِّسَانِ. There was a woman who used to indulge in immoral speech. So one day she passed by the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tibrani makes mention of the narration. She said, أَلَا تُطْعِمُنِي. Why don't you feed me? Now, nobody would dare speak to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this, but this woman was a bit outspoken. I don't think there's a shortage today. Anyway, this woman was outspoken. She said, won't you feed me? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented one morsel. The woman ate that one morsel. فَلَمْ يُعْلَمْ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْمَرْأَى الْأَمْرَ الَّذِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِ. The narration suggests that was the last day that woman had uttered anything immoral. She became one of the most modest and bashful sisters of Medina. Instant reformation and transformation. A narration comes to my mind now. In Zadul Ma'ad, Fudala ibn Umayr ibn Mulawih. Fudala ibn Umayr ibn Mulawih was the person. In Zadul Ma'ad, the narration is there. I read it myself. He comes to make tawaf around the Kaaba, but he comes with the agenda to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As he comes close, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Afudalatu? He said, yes. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam put his blessed hands on his chest. Fasakana qalbuhu. Fudala said, I wanted to assassinate. When I looked at him and he greeted me and he put his hand on my chest, immediately all the hatred I had was transmitted into warmness and affection. I mean, is there any doctor that if you put it there, then all the cancer disappears? Immediately. And he said, I accepted the faith. I left from the gathering there, and I had a chat. I used to be online with a woman, and we used to talk. And that's the point I want to get to. So this woman looked at me, and she said, come Fudala, let's get chatting. Like we would be on Facebook and online and whatever else. قالت هلم إلى الحديث فقلت لا يأبى عليك الله والإسلام لو رأيت محمدا وقبيله بالفتح يوم تكسر الأسنام لرأيت دين الله أضحى بينا والشرك يغشى وجهه الإظلام. He said, I left from there, my heart was changed. Instantly I told that woman, that's the end of chatting, I'm deleting all my contacts. Finish. We will not be indulging any immoral speech. Instantly the reformation. You know, like we, inshallah one day, I'm not talking, but I'm just leaving her name there. But I don't have any evil intentions. It's just that I've just got her on my list there. And sometimes if I get a hadith, and I would like to pass it on to her. I don't mean evil. I don't mean evil. My brother. The instant reformation. So what happened to that woman? She became one of the most modest women of Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very, very considerate human. I'm extracting different points from his life. He was a very, very considerate human. The hadith says of Bukhari, I am performing salah, فَأَسْمَعُ بُكَاءَ السَّبِيِّ فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِ. I'm in salah and I would hear a child cry, I would then shorten my prayer because I know that mother would be disturbed. Now that obviously doesn't mean now every time your child cries, you send a note here to the imam and say, please, you know what, this is the hadith. There's obviously different strokes for different folks and merits and circumstances and individually adjust and analyze every situation. But I'm saying in merit, look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if he's leading the congregation and he would hear a child cry, he would display recognition to the child and reduce his salah. Aisha radiallahu anha said, دَخَلَ رُوَيْدًا إِنْتَعَلَ رُوَيْدًا فَتَحَ الْبَابَ رُوَيْدًا. He would enter the house gently, slowly. He would make a salam that was audible to those that were awake and could not be heard by those that were sleeping. The narration appears in Dari Qutni. Dari Qutni makes mention of it. حَدَّثْنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ سُلَيْمَانَ الْبَاهِلِ قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ حَسَّانَ الْأَمَوِي قَالَ حَدَّثْنَا عَبْدَةُ بْنُ سُلَيْمَانَ عن هشام عن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت قلت يا رسول الله إني أراك تدخل الخلاء ثم يجيء الذي بعدك فلا يرى لما يخرج منك أثرا. Oh Nabi of Allah, you're so meticulous, you would relieve yourself and thereafter I would come to relieve myself immediately, but I won't find any trace there on the ground that you had relieved yourself. How do you so consciously clear up the place? Now, us, you know, you could get the trace from a distance. Unfortunately, so many people, you know what, give off some degree of respect and recognition to other people that also have to use the facility, have to also inhabit the earth. Islam has not only taught us to recognize fellow humans, but fellow creatures that inhabit the earth. That is the beauty of Islam. We have not only been taught to recognize the rights of fellow humans, fellow creatures. Today you want to tell us about animal rights if we study what Islam has taught us in recognition to other creatures. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? أَمَا عَلِمْتِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْأَرْضَ أَن تَبْتَلِعَ مَا خَرَجَ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. هذا حديث ثابت محمد بن حسان ثقة صالح. The Prophet ﷺ said, Oh Aisha, don't you know Allah has instructed the earth to instantly swallow whatever comes out from the body of a Nabi. Allah has instructed the earth. Obviously, you're not going to happen divinely for you, my brother. It's not going to divinely happen for me. But mechanically, I can do things and let me do what I have to do. So the Prophet ﷺ showed regard and respect for everyone. He was a very active person as a father, as a grandfather. He participated in the events of the house. And I mean today, to sum up the social collapse in our society, a typical manifestation of that is the crisis in our marriages. Our marriages can speak volumes of what is the fabric of our society. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, I am with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We walk in. فَسَمِعَ صَوْتَ الْحَسَنِ وَالْحُسَيْنِ يَبْكِيَانِ. He heard Hassan and Hussein, the narration of Ibn Asakir. He heard Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma crying. فَأَسْرَعَ السَّيْرِ. He hastens. He comes home. He tells Fatima radiallahu anha, مَا شَأْنُ إِبْنِي. Why is the little one crying? Now one is to come in with authority, to execute your power and your might. and to impose yourself. He didn't do that. But what did he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Why are they crying? She said, Al-Atash ya Rasulallah. O Prophet of Allah, this thirst. I don't have anything. They don't have anything. I don't know how to suit them. He said, Nawilini ahadahuma. Nawilini ahadahuma. Pass me one of the children. Fanawaltuhu iyyahu. Fatima radiallahu anha said, I slipped Hassan radiallahu anhu from beneath the curtain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took him. فَأَدْلَعَ لَهُ لِسَانَهُ. Now we obviously take out a pacifier and we give it to the child to soothe him. In fact, I said the other day, maybe they need to invent now pacifiers for adults also. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes Hassan and puts his blessed tongue in. Abu Huraira says, I'm green with envy. My word, he is enjoying the saliva of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَعَلَهُ يَمُسُّهُ حَتَّى هَدَأَ وَسَكَنَ. Hassan radiallahu anhu enjoyed the saliva of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was soothing, it was nourishing, it was empowering until he fell off to sleep. Then he said, نَاوِلِينِي الْآخَرْ. Pass me the other one. Fatima radiallahu anhu said, I slept. I'm saying he was busy outside. He comes home. He physically engages himself in seeing to the children. Takes Hussein radiallahu anhu, comforts Hussein radiallahu anhu, gives him shelter until he falls off to sleep. That is why it's mentioned in Madarik al-Tanzil that when Hussein radiallahu anhu was assassinated, someone came to Rabi ibn Khutaym, who was a great tabi'i. وَكَانَ قَلِيلَ الْكَلَامِ. He never spoke much. Someone came to him and said, قُتِلَ حُسَيْنَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Do you know what? The grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been assassinated. People said, Al-An yatakallam. A man like this, today he will speak. He said, Ah, أَوَقَدْ فَعَلُوا? أَوَقَدْ فَعَلُوا? Have they literally killed and assassinated and murdered Hussein radiallahu anhu? And then he said this, ah, an exclamation of pain. And he said, قُتِلَ مَنْ كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُجْلِسُهُ فِي حِجْرِهِ وَيَضَعُ فَاهُ عَلَى فِيهِ. قُتِلَ مَنْ كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُجْلِسُهُ فِي حِجْرِهِ وَيَضَعُ فَاهُ عَلَى فِيهِ. I don't want to say anything more than today they have killed that child who grew up and practically spent his whole childhood on the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the points that I'm deducing from the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a considerate human. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam actively participated in everything. Then another very important thing, and I just want to run with this here and share with you two, three incidents in this regard, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, two things. One is, he accepted apologies. Now this is a vital ingredient to sustain continuity in the relation. Whether it is employer, employee, husband and wife, parent or child, regardless of the interaction, humanly we will falter, and there has to be a degree of overlooking and acceptance to continue beyond. But if we dwell on our old wounds, we will never progress together as a union, nor as a nation. And it's amazing how the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam could forgive. A, B. The second thing is, and this is again brings me to that open point of exhibiting his character, that if a person came with any agenda, he would walk away impressed with the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was a hard reality. Anybody who would come, regardless of the nature of his coming, but when he would see the character, he would walk away from there completely impressed. Now if you take the narration on the occasion of Hijrat, when the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, وَإِذْ فَشَ الْإِسْلَامُ بِالْمَدِينَةِ هَاجَرَ فِيهَا مَنْ يَحْفَذُ دِينَةِ وَعَزَمَ الصِّدِّيقُ أَنْ يُهَاجِرَ فَرَدَّهُ النَّبِيُّ حَتَّى هَاجَرَ مَعًا إِلَيْهَا فَتَرَافَقَا إِلَى غَارِ ثَوْرٍ ثُمَّ ارْتَحَلَا وَمَعَهُمَا عَامِرٌ مَوْلَى الصَّدِيقِ وابن أريقة دليل للطريق فأخذوا نحو طريق الساحل والحق للعدو خير شاغل تبعهم سراقة بن مالك يريد فتكا وهو غير فاتك قتلا أي غير قاتل. the couplets are very long. It's mentioned in Bidayah and Sirat al-Mustafa and all the books of Tafsir, Sirat. Anyway, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrates. And with him is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. With him is Amir ibn Fuhayra and Abdullah ibn Ariqat. Abdullah ibn Ariqat was the guide. Amir ibn Fuhayra was with as well, who was the slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So when they leave, the kuffar put a price, 100 camels for the head of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dead or alive. Suraqa ibn Ju'shum ibn Malik said, I was tempted. I said, you know what, if I strike this deed, 100 camels, I can take care of so many of my progenies, man. The mind plays tricks. If I gamble and I win, winners know when to stop. So anyway, I said, I'm going to go for this year. Let me nab him, apprehend him, intercept him, and I will come back with the 100 camels. So we were sitting and somebody came and said, hey folks, you know what? I seen a horseman advancing. I think it's that Qureshi gentleman. So I played it low. I said, no, your vision is blurred. It cannot be him. That must be someone else. In the mind, I'm saying that how dare he goes, I need to go. So that's why I just played it low. Anyway, I told him, after that I come out, I told my slave girl, take my horse and I'll meet you at a particular tree and bring my sword. I want to put chase and I want to pursue Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and I want to apprehend him so that I can collect the 100 camels. So he says, I mount onto my horse and I get ready and I go in that direction and I can literally see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And now I'm advancing. And just then the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns back and he says, Allahumma kfinahum bima shayt. Allah, someone is coming behind, take care. Take care, O my Allah. I mean, the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you read his du'as, you realize it was a du'a, but often it was a discussion. It was a dialogue. Allahumma in shi'ta la tu'bad fil yawm. Allahumma in shi'ta la tu'bad. Who can dare say that? What did he say on Badr? Allah, it's these 313. If you don't want to be remembered after this, then destroy us. Allah, if you don't want to be worshipped, your choice. Allah, there's someone coming from the rear. Take care, O Allah. Suraqa said, the master merely glanced and the earth split. إِذْ تَسُوخُ قَوَائِمُ وهذا سراقة بن مالك يجتهد ليلحق بالركب. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked, the earth split and the legs started going down, and he realized, never mind 100 camels, I'll lose this one horse. And that's exactly what I'm telling you, my brother. You think what interest you're going to multiply? Leave multiplying what you have, you lose. Now I've been told, unfortunately, it has become very common to even the religious Muslim that's opting for mortgage and for interest and for usury related houses and businesses. It comes with a package of challenges of war with Allah. لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. I'm not going into the jurisprudence. I am saying, you stay away from interest, there will be happiness in your life. You get involved, there will be misery in your life. This has reached such a pinnacle, I don't have to substantiate it, look around you and it will speak volumes. I always give this one example and I will give it again because for me, it encapsulates the example of interest in the best possible way. The example is given in the footnotes of Tafsir Uthmani under this verse, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِندَ اللَّهِ. A simple example, but profound indeed. A person is now eating fast foods. He's eating fatty foods. And he's becoming obese. It would be rather foolish to conclude this man is healthy because he is obese. This is fat that is being accumulated. This is a liability. This is unhealthy expansion. He is now more susceptible to a host of diseases. So you say, but look at this man. Oh, he's staggered. He's muscular. Look at his physique. No, that's fat. That's obesity. That would harm him. That would set him back. Remember, the growth in your wealth via interest is obese wealth. That's obese. That's not healthy expansion. That's fatness that's sitting in. A person that is obese is so much more prone to diabetic, is so much more prone to cancer, is so much more susceptible and vulnerable to a host of maladies and diseases. Versus another person who's been given a laxative to flush out a bug from his system. He might be thin, but they ridden the bug from his system. What is zakat? It's flushing out the evil of your wealth. It's getting rid of the wrong. And a man who's expanding through obesity, well, if you consider obesity to be health, then go splash and indulge. I mean, if you read the report, the third biggest killer disease now is obesity. How do you control it? What, you know, and then you get the guy who wants to appease himself. I'll have a double cheesy burger, but a Diet Coke, please. A Diet Coke. A double cheesy burger, a Diet Coke. A Diet Coke, what's it going to do? Look at the calories from that one cheese. Look at that double burger. Look at everything else. Brother, I'm on a diet. That's obesity. In the very same way, interest, that's obesity. So anyway, Suraqa tells Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, "Oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please forgive me." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Okay, I forgive you." And then he said, "Let me go back to Makkah." He turns the horse. He says, "But you know what? Maybe there the ground was a bit slippery. Let me try again." My brother, don't laugh at him. You and I are worse. How many times didn't you go to that woman and it messed your marriage? And you came and you cried and you back at that woman? How many times didn't you pop a pill and see the calamities, the miseries it brought in your life? You begged Allah, you beseeched Allah. And then again you went through some fluctuation and turbulence in your marriage and you reverted back to that pill. لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر واحد مرتين. The Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a believer once bitten, twice shy. When he's bitten by a snake once, he will never allow that snake to bite him again till he dies. He learns his lesson once. The dignity and the maturity, the respect and the vision of a believer never allows him to repeat his mistake. He learns once and for all. He never reverts to his wrong. That's a road I will never tread again. I learned the hard way. I got my mistake. I'll never do it again. Since the day you pursued an illicit relation, be honest with yourself. You had no pleasure with your spouse. Be honest with yourself. You got up 12 o'clock in the night knowing no what to do. That is the nature of sin. When others are sleeping, you'll be up. When others are up, you'll be sleeping. When people are happy, you'll be sad. When people are sad, you'll be miserable. Ask those that are Allah guide one and all. That's the package of sin that comes with it. So again, the temptation came and said, let me go again. So he mounts onto his horse again and he starts strutting it. And the master hears footsteps. Allahumma kfinahum bima shi'at. O my Allah, I think he is coming again. Take care. Take care, O my Allah. The earth splits for the second time. He shouts out, "Oh Muhammad, this time I am genuine, forgive." The master, "Unconditionally, I have forgiven you." Someone came to Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi and said, "How many times should I forgive my employee?" He said, "As many times as you want Allah to forgive you." "How many times should I forgive my employee?" He said, "As many times as you want Allah to forgive you." As many times as you want Allah to forgive. Decide for yourself. You know that sin of yours and you cry to Allah in that seclusion. You say, "My Lord, it's only you. If it was a humankind and I had to beg for forgiveness, they would have closed the chapter on my generation by now. They would have, you know, he's written off, he's marked, he's in a black book." Suraqa says, again there was a clash of emotions for the third time. I said, "Let me take my last try." The devil never despairs. He's going to try. As perhaps your spirit is at its pinnacle. It's at optimum level now. I'm not going to revert. But don't think it's over from the devil. It's never over. He's going to be at it. So Suraqa said, again, there's this urge. Man, 100 camels. No, man. 100 camels. You know, that's an asset, man. It's an asset. I mean, end of the day, we can always repent. Those are the provocations and the tricks of the devil. So he says, I pursue for the third time. Not knowing the plan of Allah was much beyond. Many people entered as journalists and returned as believers. Many people entered to record things and they were exposed to the beauty of Islam. Suraqa says, I went for the third time and again the earth splits. And the master glances and the same thing is repeated. And I realized, no, now the chapter is over. Now it's do or die. Either I embrace the faith or I'm dead. I said, oh Muhammad, halt. I swear by Allah, I'm convinced you're the divine man. I want to come forward and I want to accept your faith. So he comes forward and he apologizes. Nabi Sassam says, that's fine. But we're obviously on the journey of Hijrat and we have to keep our movements very discreet. So we don't have time to engage in a lengthy dialogue. The location doesn't warrant a detailed discussion. There was obviously no drop me an email and I'll let you know in that type of a discussion. But anyway, be it as it may, can you give me some written agreement that you've given me amnesty and you've pardoned me and this chapter is over and you'll never hold this back against me? So Amir ibn Fuhayra was with, he had a piece of leather. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, write for him and tell him that we have forgiven him and we've pardoned him. He offered some food that he had. He said, oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have food that I've brought for me. You know, I thought I would be coming and apprehending you and 100 camels and I'll be rejoicing, so I brought food with me. But can Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has fed us and taken care of us, we are fine. Just do one thing. La tatruk ahadan yalhaq bina. La tatruk ahadan yalhaq bina. You go back and anybody come in and pursue, just ward them off. Just ward them off and tell them that, you know, try and put an end that they don't pursue. He said that is fine and he expresses his sentiments and embraces the faith. Nabi Sassam said, Suraqa, listen. Let me tell you, a time is going to come in your life. You're going back now. Allahu Akbar. My faith will prosper and it will go beyond the boundaries of Arabia. And Islam will spread and it will go way beyond. It will go into Arabia, beyond Arabia. It will conquer the Rome and the Persian Empire. And a time will come that the bracelet of the Persian ruler will come in the spoils of the Muslims. You will be present at that time, you will be summoned, and the bracelet of that king will be given to you and it will be put on your hand. He said, oh Muhammad, are you talking of Kisra ibn Hurmuz? Now Kisra ibn Hurmuz, that was the seat of power at that time. That was the seat of authority and dominion. From there everything was happening. Are you talking of Kisra ibn Hurmuz? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, I'm talking of Kisra ibn Hurmuz. كَيْفَ بِكَ يَا سُرَاقَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَ كِسْرَى ibn Hurmuz. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spelled it out. Word for word, letter for letter. Anyway, he returns from there. Where have you heard in the history of mankind that a assassin or a would-be assassin becomes the bodyguard of that very same person in one day? Where you are part of an intelligence to intercept him, and by the evening you are the bodyguard of the very same man. What was the profoundness of the character of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He comes back to Makkah. He calls Abu Jahl. Aba Jahlin wallahi law kunta shahida. Aba Jahlin wallahi law. You have to read Arabic, man. Aba Jahlin wallahi law kunta shahida. Li amri jawadi idh tasukhu qawaimu. علمت ولم تشكك بأن محمدا رسول ببرهان فمن ذا يقاومه عليك بكف القوم عنه فإني أرى أمره يوما ستبدو معالمه. Abu Jahl, let me talk to you heart on heart. We've got this anti-Islamic agenda and we passionately, vehemently hate the cause. I came so close to the man that nobody possibly came close. My life was on stake. I promise you, this man is genuine. He's wholesome. He's pure. He's embracing. Believe it or not, Abu Jahl, I have accepted the faith and I'm conveying the message to you. Lest you regret and hold me accountable on the day of Qiyamah. During the reign of Umar ibn Khattab, قل للمخلفين من الأعراب ستدعون إلى قوم
أولي بأس شديد تقاتلونهم أو يسلمون. If you read under the commentary of this ayat, you will see it was the reign of Umar ibn Khattab. Persia was conquered. The bracelet of Kisra ibn Hurmuz was brought into Medina. Sahaba was sitting, and then Umar starts crying. Sometimes your mother says, Dikra, my son, you will see this will happen, this will happen. And you think, but it's remote, it's far-fetched, will it ever happen? And then your mother passes away, and you see her du'as opening up in your life. And she said, Allah will bring this wealth your way, and Allah will bring that prosperity your way. And then those tears come, and you say, when my mother said it, I thought she was, you know, making far-fetched statements. Today my mom is gone, not to see the prosperity, but what she said stares at me openly in my eyes. Umar is sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, and the spoils of the war come, and Umar starts crying, and he says, call Suraqa. Suraqa was called. He said, Suraqa, you remember that night of Hijrat? Suraqa, you remember that night of Hijrat when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making Hijrat with Abu Bakr, and you pursued, and you wanted to apprehend, and then you embraced the faith, and he prophesied, and he said, you're going to be given this bracelet to wear. Here's the bracelet, and here stands the prophecy. Wallah, every statement of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will manifest itself. Every statement. And then Umar said, say Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillahi alladhi salabahuma min Kisra ibn Hurmuz wa albasahuma Suraqat al-A'rabi. Oh Suraqa, say all praise belongs to Allah. That which I couldn't see in my life, leave alone seeing the bracelet, I couldn't get a glimpse of the Kisra of that time. Such was his pomp and his glory, his might and his authority. Today Allah brought his bracelet and put it on my hand as prophesied by Nabi on the night of Hijrat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes further. The narration of Dalailun Nubuwa. Burayda Aslami comes. Burayda Aslami comes with 70 people. What's his agenda? To assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine this here. They 70 people come close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the calmness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many a times people talk to us in a hostile way because they know no better. Many times people are apprehensive towards us and they're watching us. You know? What is this man doing? I'm just taking out my lunch to eat in the plane. That's all. I just want to eat my food. Oh, thank you. That guy said, I was praying. And when I stopped praying, others started praying. So how do we conduct ourselves with fellow humans and fellow citizens? Sometimes a man might be apprehensive towards me because he doesn't know better about me. These are people that are coming to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are coming with an agenda. Dalailun Nubuwa's narration. 70 people. Burayda Aslami and 70. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who are you? He said, I am Burayda. Now, again, this is a bit of Arabic grammar here. But I will try and simplify it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never believed in bad omens. In Islam, there's no superstitions and bad omens. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deduced good meanings. So, for example, if there was complexity in an issue, and a person came whose name was Suhail. Now the word Suhail in Arabic is derived from the word Sahal, which means ease. So often the Prophet ﷺ would say, oh, Suhail came. So that means ease will now flow. So he would deduce positive connotations from situations. And this happens often in the hadith. This can be, you know, substantiated with multiple examples. So there was no merit to bad omens, but often he made noble deductions from different situations. So he looked at this brother, he said, what's your name? Now, speaking to your would-be assassins, and look at the calmness. So what's your name? He said, my name is Burayda. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, Baruda Amruna Wasaluha. Baruda Amruna. Burayda means to be cold and cool. So when he said his name is Burayda, which means cold and cool, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abu Bakr and he said, okay, Abu Bakr, then the matters are cool and chilled and relaxed. Nothing to stress about. All is taken care of. Cool. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from which tribe do you come? He said, Mim Bani Aslam. From the tribe of Aslam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Salimna ya Aba Bakrin. Salimna. Now Aslam in Arabic could mean submit, surrender, peace, safety. Which tribe you come from? I come from the tribe of Aslam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, then we are all safe, man. We cool, we safe. By the way, which branch of that tribe? So he said, Mim Bani Sahmin. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kharaja Sahmuka lil Islam. Read the narration of Dalail al-Nubuwa. Saham in Arabic could mean share or it could mean arrow. Which branch? He said from Bani Saham, which means a share or a portion. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then you have allotted your portion of Islam by your own words. He said, give me your hands, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan. Let me confess, there are 70 years we wanted to kill you, we all want to read Kalima now. They embrace Islam. Then he says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can we be part of the entourage as you make your appearance into Medina? Or are we new Muslims? So we, and he said, please join us. The 70 that came to assassinate now joined the crew to Medina. Then Buraydah says, only way of Allah, just a proposal. Read, it's in Sirat al-Mustafa, this whole narration is there with the reference. O Nabi of Allah, you're going to enter. It would be so nice if you have a bit of a flag. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that's fine. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took out his blessed turban. Buraydah took out his spear, created a little flag. And these people who were going to commit the act of treason, who were going to assassinate the master, now rally around him as his devout companions as he makes his presence into Medina. Amongst this journey of Hijrat, another incident that had happened. I'm saying, look at the pardon and the clemency of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Abdullah ibn Ariqat and Amir ibn Fuhayra, they come to the house of Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. Umm Ma'bad was a very elderly woman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Umm Ma'bad, do you have any provisions to provide for us? Any food, any drinks. فَلَمْ يُصِيبُ عِنْدَهَا شَيْئًا She says, no, I don't have anything. I don't have absolutely nothing. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then seen one goat walking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh, Umm Ma'bad, this your goat? She said, yes. So what happened to this goat? خَلَّفَهَا الْجُهْدُ This animal is so weak and frail. So the flock left this animal and the flock is ahead. And this animal is on the verge of death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abiha min labanin. Does this goat have any milk in it? So she said, Hiya ajhadu min dhalik. This on the verge of death, you're asking for milk. I don't know, you know, or milk. What's it? I'm not, whatever the correct pronunciation is. Milk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can I just, you know, take out some milk and milk it? She said, In ra'ayta biha labanan fahlibha. I'm telling you, the animal is on the verge of death. But if you want to try your luck and you feel you can get something, by all means, go for it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read Bismillah and gently stroked the udder and the milk started flowing one way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, get me a vessel quickly. And Umm Ma'bad is like, my word. It's brimming, it's brimming. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Umm Ma'bad first. First you drink. First you drink. Because obviously she's going to be excited and everything, what's happening. First you drink. She drank till she was satiated. Her thirst was quenched. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then passed the vessel around. Everybody had till they were satiated. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for another vessel. A vessel was brought and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam filled that vessel up also. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then gave it to Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. And he said that you can keep this. Gave it to her and then he left. As they leave from there, the husband Abu Ma'bad comes back. And to his utter surprise, when he left dry, no milk, this animal was on the verge of death, and now subhanAllah, it's moving swiftly, and it's looking healthy, and there's milk, and the wife is... Imagine you leave $500, and you come back, and there's $5,000. It's the reverse. You leave $5,000, and you'll be lucky if there's anything less. And how dare you ask where you spent? It's not for me, it's for your children. Got nothing to do with me. It's all your children. I didn't buy anything from you. I'm just asking. So the husband is like, wow, that's great. What happened? She said, Ja'ana rajulun mubarakun.
جاءنا رجل مبارك. One amazing man came. في عنقه سطع. He was slightly tall. في لحيته كثاثة. He had a dense beard. حلول منطق. Sweet in his speech. Profound in his character. Gently he came and he stroked the other and it was just brimming with milk. Abu Ma'bad said, I'm telling you my wife, that is that Qurayshi man. That is this Qurayshi man. Let's go and embrace the faith.